Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to After the Fantasy Podcast, episode 42. I'm your host Peter, and joined this week by the usual two, Tom and Gunnar. How are you doing, guys? Tom.
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Peter?
I'm not bad, not too bad at all, but for this rubbish weather outside. How are you doing, Gunnar?
Yep, doing very well. Rubbish weather as well over in Germany, but other than that, all good.
Okay, before we get started, the quarterfinals or the half-hour fantasy podcast comes this week. If you go to Gunnar's Twitter page, he has updated the bracket for the four winners and the new bracket semi-finals. But Gunnar, do you want to take us through the quarterfinals?
Yeah, so the four quarterfinals we had at Big John 08 against Libertine 95. The winner, Libertine 95, in this one, just 7 points. Second quarterfinal was Nick Hedgie against at Bolexio. Just a 1 point in it, Bolexio going through. Quarterfinal number three, Toynton 1993, coming out as the winner with 49 points against FF Baz with his 37 points. And then the highest difference, I think, here in point scores in the fourth quarterfinal, Scoosh 2605 with 67 points against R. McLennan, 53 points. So the semifinals now are at Libertine 95 against Bolexio, and the second semi-final at Toynton 1993 against Scoosh 2605.
Brilliant. The semi-finals will be next Wednesday, I believe that's the next game week. And another thing I pointed out, I think I said in our chat, is the last quarter-final, the defeatist pair, the pair we defeated would have won the rest of the quarter-finals. We spoiled those, all right? Guy got knocked out.
That's right.
Yep.
Right.
And it's only because the winner played a triple captain and Edouard, who get the one return for Celtic, so a bit of luck carried there, eh? That's what happens in the cup. So we'll go to the Scottish League. There is no change. Top three hasn't changed much. Gunnar's gathered a bit of ground in first place, but with 2 weeks left to go, I think the title challenge could be over. There isn't really any scores to do for a high score, so we'll go to our points. I had 30, Tommy 37, Gunnar, you had 41, so I'll start first. I brought in Xander Clark as my transfer. Didn't play either, so but I busted flush for that. So it was Doig for 2 points. Oh, pressing buttons here. Barisic, captain, 10. Helge for Ross County for 7. Devlin for nothing. Forrest, 1. Turnbull, 1. Elanusse, 0. Shanklin, 1 point. Morelis, 6 points. Lafferty, 2. And I had Callaghan for 6 points on the bench, but couldn't get him on because of the formation I set out. So Tom, what talks for your points?
Yep. I brought in Anik, and he got 0 points. Backline, Barisic 5 points, Reynolds nothing, Scott McMahon 2, Goldson 2, midfield Callaghan got me 6, Captain McGrath got me 12, and Pinnock got me 1. Up front, Morelos 6 points, Lafferty 2 points, and vice captain was Shank, who got 1 point.
Yeah, I brought in Nisbet on my free transfer, who I vice captained, and he didn't play, so that's 0 points. Had Sigrist in goal for nothing, Barisic 5, Holben and Goldson 2 each, Kenny for nothing, Boyle 2 points, Elunusi 0, Callaghan 6 points, Captain McGrath as well for 12, and Morelos and French Eddie 6 points each.
Okay, you both mentioned McGrath last week and I just totally ignored it. Sorry, that was a dog going nuts of hanging by. Totally ignored it and went with Xander Clark for a bit of banter because of that cup game. That came back and bought me. Anyways, I feel now, I don't know what you use, I'm feeling it's 2 weeks to go. I'm glad it's getting to the end of the season, this Scottish game. I feel I want it to be over and a bit revitalised next year with bonus points, maybe some new chips, see what happens. Because I have noticed in the community that it's kind of got a lot quieter as it's tailed off end of the season. People have maybe lost a bit of interest, I think. I don't know what your thoughts on that is, Tom.
Yeah, I think people, the mini leagues, they've decided they're not going to gain much ground. There's not really sort of, the template's kind of performing, there's not really any sort of standouts, so everyone's remaining sort of stagnant. So, yeah, it'll be good to get next season. Hearts will be back up as well, so that should add a bit more interest. One of the bigger teams back in it, and a new point system as well.
Have you yourself got your thoughts on that?
Agree what you both said there. We spoke about the new point system so often. I think we're all kind of waiting for that to come into effect. And this week as well, I scored 21 points over the average. I still finished on a grey dot. So there's not much movement, I suppose, not even in the Mega League. So everyone's just kind of waiting for this season to finish. It was a good first season. And then if we go into next season with a bit more ways to score points, bonus points, a couple of new chips, like you say, to make it more interesting, that'd be good.
Yep. Just take away again. It's a great next year. I think we've got more interest, where there's more stuff going, there's more things playing out at the end of the season, point wise and bonus points. Right, so we'll go through the results. We're not going to labour on the results we did this last time. There's really kind of no point now because it's got to the point where there's not much changing in the last 2 weeks. So St Mirren 1, Hamilton 2, Motherwell 2, Kilmarnock 0, Livingston 1, Aberdeen 2, Hibs 0, St Johnstone 1, Dundee 2, Ross County 2, Rangers 4, Celtic 1. Couple of talking points through these game weeks and discuss. And just going forward, this is what we're going to start doing next year. Rather than go through the games in lots of detail, we're going to just maybe take 3 or 4 talking points for the game week and try to discuss that. So a bit of conversation. That is a plan going forward. Maybe do the FPL, the kind of second half of the podcast. That's going to be a plan going forward for the next season's podcast. So, for the results, Tom, Dundee United without Segrist. Thoughts?
Pretty shaky defensively, and up front they've been lacking as well. I suppose they don't have a lot to play for. They're fairly settled in the sort of top half of the bottom half. Ross County just wanted it more. And they got the result there.
Yep, good up.
I agree. I think that it is really the way that the head's not in it. They've got nothing to play for except their cup semi-finals. Segrist is a big miss. You could see that, especially the second goal. But I think keeper at fault maybe for the first one as well. I want to pick out Jordan White. He's scored 2 and 2 now. And like Tom said, Ross County, they probably just wanted it more. And Adrian Spurle, biggest troll of our inaugural FFS season. He was on the bench at least, didn't come on. And I think that experiment is just over. I think Dundee United front three of McNulty, Clark and Shanklin is the way going forward. Like Spurle didn't even come on when they were 2-0 down. And I doubt he's going to be rested for the semi-final in the cup.
Always next season, going on, get him in again next season. Next point was kind of 3 points rolled out to one. So it's like tight at the bottom. So is it worth targeting players with something to play for? And also my point at this was, if you're a wild card, would you be lumping on players who got something to play for, Tom?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Ross County, the pressure's on. They came up against Dundee United, they did well. And the same applied to Hamilton as well. St Mirren have been reasonably solid defensively. And for Hamilton to kind of go away from home and bag a couple of goals, I mean, I suppose we'll talk about Hamilton later on. I don't think Moyle knew much about that one, but to go away from home and win, whereas in contrast to that, you've got teams like Dundee United that had 0 shots on target against County, Celtic. I mean, they've not looked interesting since October, really. Hibs, they've kind of fell by the wayside a little bit as well. So you could argue that there's a few teams in there that don't look in it anymore. Livingston as well. I mean, the 14-game unbeaten run, that's a distant memory too. So I think if you were going to target, you'd probably look at, I'd probably be lumping into the relegation battlers.
What's going on?
I agree with Tom there. It's especially what he said there on Hibs as well. They've got the semi-final as well, Dundee United. We spoke about them. And I mean, You could see it from Ross County wanting it more. Killy was a bit disappointed. I thought they'd have more in it. We all have Callaghan. So once again, Hamilton, when we spoke a couple of weeks ago, I had them down and out being relegated. And the two of you were like, oh, are you sure? And here we go again. They might actually save them again. And then also like St. Johnstone, I mean, they've picked up a good couple of results, but they were kind of playing with like a B team, if you want. Like the goalie wasn't playing, Rooney wasn't playing, and they still come away with the result there. So fair play to them. But I agree with Tom. I'd probably try and see if your players, like a Jordan White, for example, in the relegation battle there, that they have something to play for to pick them up.
Maybe it's a lesson learned for next year. Like when we get if they continue the wild card after the split, maybe you're best holding it for a week or two and then seeing European places and relegation places and using it then. Even just for the last three game weeks, not, I know it's only 2 weeks later, but maybe see who's in the nitty-gritty of it and who actually has got something to fight and play for. And that would maybe be the best time to use it rather than just blow it straight away because you've got a wild card and it's like interesting and fun. You mentioned Hibs there, Tom, been pretty kind of off the boil, but another point you know is just as simple as Celtic are really, really shite. Thoughts, Tom?
Yeah. Celtic, well, I suppose we may as well just talk about the result at the weekend. This was the big game to kind of, you know, get something out of the season. They could at least say they've put a stop to Rangers on invincible league. But they're just so flat. Defensively was a concern. I mean, John Joe Kenny, I don't know how he's managed to get the big bucks at Everton because absolutely rotten. Ayer, I mean, I was critical of him last week, as you well know. You guys might have thought he had a decent game, but I just wasn't feeling it. So, yeah, I mean, I think the only Celtic player I've got in my team's Forrest, and even then, I should probably get rid of him too.
I'm fit Forrest at that. Gunnar, thoughts? Celtic a shite.
I mean, this result just goes to show how big the rebuild for Celtic is actually going to be. I mean, they need a new manager, captain's leaving. Number two got sent off there in the game as well against Rangers. So this result probably meant it's not going to be Kennedy who's getting the manager's job. Edward, he's probably off, so they're going to need a new striker. They got no proper right back because John Joe Kenny isn't one. Ayer, if he's going, or if Tom says you need someone better, they don't have any good centre halves. And it's just a massive job for whoever comes in. This result, it goes to show that the rebuild is so big, and not just players, managers, scouts, maybe backroom staff. It's just a lot of work, I think.
Don't hold back, Gunnar. Don't hold back. Before we move on, have you got any other thoughts on the games? Tom, you mentioned getting to Hamilton later. Have you got something on Hamilton you want to discuss?
I thought Callaghan had a really good game. He's obviously a box to box midfielder. I thought he was unlucky not to get more than just a single goal. In that game as well, McGrath has obviously been on decent form. Me and Gunnar backed him with the captaincy. That's about it, really.
Good. Any add for what you've seen?
Well, maybe Devante Cole. I took him out a few weeks ago. Probably wasn't the right move. Next game, Motherwell. They play, where is it? They play Dundee United, who we just said. Maybe their head's not in it. And then Ross County, you've something to play for. Motherwell, probably. Well, they're safe. Nothing to play for. But Devante Cole, he sticks out for me. And then I want to mention for Aberdeen, the right back playing this week is the new headband. They got two now. It's Conor McLennan, who's a striker in the game. So basically the reverse Spurla. he got the assist for the goal as well. He was popping up in some really mad positions. I looked it up earlier and then seen he was playing right back. And just if you tried watching the highlights, tried following him around the pitch, it was just not a lot of times you could find him in the right back spot, and for the goal as well, he just drifts inside and then finds himself like one on one with the goalie, and someone else put it in. But just I mean, for all points in fantasy, it doesn't really. If he's a striker and plays as a defender, we won't get the clean sheet points though.
Let me bring up Jay Henderson now.
Oh, Jay Henderson, yeah. From bench trick player to getting attack and returns. I mean, he probably didn't know too much about it. Just ricocheted off him for the goal for McGrath. And then he had a chance late on as well that he just brashly hit over the bar when he could have just squared it.
I think he's a young lad, isn't he? He's 19, 20.
He's 19 years old, right. Yeah.
So he's one for next season. So he'll come from, as you said, the bench trick last season to be a shoe-in next season, having your team get out assists every second game. Right, well, we've only predictions then. It was bad this week. We've only got 1 point you giving her, 1 point Tom, and I get two results. I can't know what I've got down here, but they're all Ross County 1-0 for me, so 1 point. Rangers, well, like I say, Rangers 3-1, so I wasn't far away, 1 point. Tom, you'd 1-0, Gunnar, you'd 1-0, so that was your point. The rest of it was pretty rubbish. And I'll just tell you, it was the exact same for the Premiership English game. Not one, he's got one result, right? No fixtures this week, so we'll leave that. So no transfers, captains, vice-captains, leave that to next week as well. So, like I suggested on, the community's getting a bit bored. There's no much questions either. So I've decided to conceive a quiz for you lads, and you can play along at home, dear listener. Now, last week, how much he hands on the table, so he's can't run your phone checking things. Last week, the app put on a tweet showing the top point scorer from every team. So I decided to test your knowledge, and I've put down the second top point scorer of every team. Some will be obvious, some will not be obvious. So now, obviously, there's 12 teams, so it's six each. Who wants to go first? Tom or Gunnar?
Go ahead, Tom.
I like that.
I'll go ahead first.
How it's going to work is, Tom, I'll give you six questions first, right? If you don't know the answer, Gunnar can come in if the wrong answer's wrong, and then it'll go to Gunnar and vice versa, right? So I put left and right, six teams, so it's just Tom's going first, so your six teams are Aberdeen, second highest point scorer,
Ryan Hedges.
Over to Gunnar.
Does that mean it's wrong?
Yes.
Aye, okay. I'm going to go highest point score is probably Lewis, ice. So I'm going for Hoban.
Correct, Gunnar. Hoban. One for Gunnar. Right, Tom, back.
Because we've done the centre halves already. You know, top
maybe. Right, Tom, over to you. Second highest point scorer for Celtic.
Duffy.
No. Gunnar?
Elianussi.
No, it was Odson Edward.
Ooh. Who's the highest?
I think it's Ayer, am I correct?
Oh, okay. Aye.
Right, Tom, back to you again. Dundee United.
I'm assuming the highest is Seagrass, so second highest, I'll go Mark Reynolds.
Correct, Tom, Mark Reynolds. Who'd you say they're going to?
Reynolds as well, yeah.
He just said that.
No.
Right, Tom again. Hibs.
It's either Boyle and Nisbet or Nisbet and Boyle. I'm just trying to decide which way. That's what I reckon. I'll go Boyle.
No. Gunnar?
I'm going to go a defender. I'm going to go Hanlon.
Close. McGinn.
Hmm.
Oof.
Tom. Kilmarnock.
Bork.
Wrong. Gunnar?
Bamba.
Oh, I thought he'd have got this one. No, it's Greg Kilty. Burke was number one. Tom, your last one. You're so far, you got one. But you still got the second half to play if you're going to get some wrong. St Mirren.
Shaughnessy.
Good up.
Tate.
Fraser.
Would have never guessed that.
So after the first half of the competition, it is one each. So Gunnar, over to you, St. Johnson.
Rooney?
Nope. Tom?
Jason Kerr.
Close by 1 point. Is it Jason McCart? That's his name? McCart was the second highest point scorer.
Was it?
Right. Gunnar Livingston.
Go three.
Nope. Tom?
Strike.
No. Gunnar, do you want to see your answer now? I thought that there you kind of thought.
Is it the boy, the striker, Robinson? No.
Nicky Devlin. Gunnar, Rangers.
Second highest. Goldson.
Correct. Gunnar Goldson. Ross County.
Jordan White.
Nope. Tom?
Billy Mackay.
Nope. Lack of Eddie.
Ooh.
Hamilton.
It's not Callaghan. So is it O'Duffin?
Yes, O'Duffin. There's two answers there. It's actually McMahon and O'Duffin are joint second points.
Right, okay.
And the last one, Gunnar, this is for a humping because it's 3-1. This is for the 4-1, Gunnar.
You could have got the easy ones. So.
But just to wait, look. Motherwell.
Tony Watt.
Nope, Tom.
Devante Cole.
Correct, Tom. Devante Cole. Number one was O'Donnell. So just to, that was 3-2, Gunnar. Just to count here, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8/9. 9 out of 12 second place guys were all defenders. This is the kind of story of the season. Right, FPL. Let's load up this league. I don't want to actually do this because I'm not sitting in the top three anymore, which is quite disappointing, but the league. So, top three has changed. Gunnar's still number one with 26 points. Picnic George, Daniel Arnott second. Tom leapfrogs Peter into third. So I'm fourth. So the average this week was 39 points. I had 29, and I'll start first, and then I'll go to Tom with 36 and Gunnar with 26. So, Martinez and goal for 2, Dallas 1 point, nothing from Trent, Castagne 2, Lingard 2, Son 12, Bamford 1, Captain Kane 4, any actual 5. Sanchez on the bench for 6, nothing else, obviously because that postponed game. So, Tom, what takes through your points?
Martinez and goal for 2 points. Backline was Dunk 8 points, Shaw got me nothing, Castagne 2. Midfield, Greenwood, nothing. Lingard, 2. Fernandez, nothing. Son got me 12. Up front, Nacho got me 5. Captain Kane, 4. And Bamford, 1.
Good up.
Mendy and goals for 7. Cody and Castagne, 2 each. 1 point of Dallas. Greenwood, Salah, nothing. Lingard and Pereira, 2 each. 1 point off the bench from Davis. Iheanacho, 5. And Captain Kane with 4.
Okay. Bit of a rubbish game. Obviously, Liverpool mind the game postponed, kind of threw this man out of all our works. So, over to Tom for some Tom time with the topic.
Okay, so 3 questions this week. Question number 1, it's Spurs related. Is Gareth Bale under Ryan Mason a different animal? All of his 9 goals have came at home. Is he a key target for game weeks 36 and 37? Peter?
I think he's a different animal, yes. I think he's going to play more games. key target. If you can do it, I'm just in the situation where I don't think I can get to him. I've got this triple game week coming, obviously, game week 35. So Leeds, Spurs play once, so there's no point this week. Next week, the way it's going to work out for me is I'm going to have a couple of players blanking, so I need to transfer players in if players are not playing. So that, again, leaves issue with no Bale. Well, probably could if I want to downgrade a Fernandes, but he's not in my thoughts right now. And that is pretty much it for me. If you're on a wild card or if you've got the money, you can go Son to Bale, maybe. Would I recommend a triple up? I don't think so, but that's just my thoughts on it. What about you, Gunnar?
I like Bale. I've made some Maverick transfers the past 2 weeks. I brought Pereira in, for example, for one of my free transfers last week. I could, with the money in the bank, probably upgrade him after this game week. So for 36, I probably have two Man United midfielders as well, one of them being Greenwood, so I could upgrade him to Bale. And just, like you say, he's scored all his goals at home. There's two home games in 36 and 37 against Wolves and Aston Villa. And if you put it like that. So Man United blank. I could see myself going from Greenwood to Bale, I think.
Not Son?
See, I didn't have Son this week, which had me drop in rank massively. It was part of my big master plan to bring him in for Fernandes, which I then didn't do because Bruno, he's done really well in the European game. Then the game was called off. So Son really hurt me, but I'm not sure if I want to triple up on them and just go Bale because I'm chasing and lots of people around me, they have Son. And if Bale can keep this up, then like I'm hoping it could catapult me up the ranks.
Sounds good. Just to add to that, Ryan Mason's been in charge of Spurs last two league games. In that time, Bale is top for shots on target amongst all midfielders with 7, and he scored 4 goals in that time. I think I'll probably go for him, not this week. I've got a free hit to play in the blank game week. My first draft, I've got a Spurs triple up. I think under Ryan Mason, they're going to be a lot more attacking. It was Dele Alli was on the pitch last game as well. So a lot more creativity. I think they're going to focus less defensive and just go at teams. So I'll probably be looking at definitely Bale in the free hit, and then I'm not too sure after that. Next question then. With a double game week, and when I submitted this question, it was just a double game week. Now it is a triple game week. But with a double game week coming up, what players are you targeting? If you still had your free hit, what players would you be considering, given that you wouldn't have to worry about blank game weeks as well, just for those like me with a free hit up the sleeve? Gunnar.
Well, first of all, I have a couple of players already that are definitely going to blank. So all my lesser guys, my Man United guys, I have Mendy in goal still, have Holding on the bench at the minute, so they're all blanking in game week 36. I'm still looking to bring in someone from Man United, preferably a defender, just to get someone who's super nailed, like a Maguire or a Wan-Bissaka, probably Maguire if you want to go for the nailed argument. They're blanking, but they're playing 3 times, and then after that is Fulham and Wolves. I don't mind benching them. Leicester, Castagne is probably like he's run his course. After this double, they have the blank, then playing Chelsea and Tottenham. Don't know how many points Castagne is going to get me there. One of the targets who doesn't blank in 36 is Zaha, because they have Southampton and Sheffield in the double. And I brought in Pereira, so I've got this spot in my midfield. That is just basically punts for the last 3 or 4 game weeks. So I might punt on Zaha and then swap him to Son and Bale in 36. But from the players that blank, yeah, Man United, Leicester, I'm need to get rid of them at some point. Everton, they don't blank. But I'm targeting an Everton defender this week as well, maybe.
Peter?
Repeat the question again for me, Tom.
I said, with a double game week coming up, what players are you targeting? Or triple game week. And if you still had a if you still had a free hit, what players would you be considering? So if the blank game week wasn't a consideration, you're just solely looking at the double game week, what players would you be going for?
Right, so straight away it would be three Man United players. So I've already got two, Fernandes and Greenwood. The plan is, like Gunnar said, we'd bring in Maguire. I've got one transfer left. I was talking to Gunnar before the podcast started about rolling that for two next week. But if you bring in Man United player, a third player, he's playing three games. One return would cover the space of getting a hit next week, so it doesn't really matter. Quite happy to do it this week, if you many players in. A lot of people are on show, so I was thinking Wan-Bissaka or Maguire, but the more I think about it, Maguire's nailed of nailed, so I think it'll be him. And as like his fixtures are actually pretty good after the blank, so I don't mind benching for 1 week, bringing him back in. As for any other players, I mean, Liverpool look good for that Southampton at home game. And I would like to think that my game might be a low scoring game, maybe potentially 0-0. So that would work good if you had a Trent or maybe a Robertson double up. Try to think who else here. Leicester, like Everton, I bring in Coleman. That's my first transfer this week. Because their fixture after the blank's pretty good. So that's me. Hopefully he's pretty much nailed on. And who would I not avoid? Now let me see. See, good to mention Saha, but I think the fixtures turn bad. I know it's right for a free hit. There's nothing really else stands out, I suppose. I like Everton, but then West Ham's going to get Creswell back and Antonio, so it's kind of... I'm just attacking... The way the man looking is, you've got a free hit, Tom. We'll be discussing that more next week because you'll be obviously building a free hit team. I'm just going to attack this game week the best I can. And next week, I think I've got to work out of 9 players. If I take a hit, I'll be 11, hopefully 11 first-team players for that week. And then I've built my team. The way I've built it is pretty close to... It's pretty solid for the last two game weeks. And that's just the way I'm gonna work it. There's only 4 weeks left, so I'm quite happy where I'm at. Attack this week, one hit next week, barring injuries, obviously, we could throw spanners into work. And then can I just see it through the last 2 weeks of the season?
Good. For myself, I'm looking at getting Calvert-Lewin in. I've seen a stat that he's involved in 58% of Everton's away goals this season. So they play two away games. So I think he's got a decent chance. Obviously, you said Zaha there. I don't know if I'm that convinced with Crystal Palace and Zaha. And as another differential or a cheapy one, I kind of thought James Ward-Prowse as well. Quite high up amongst the midfielders. He's not really been on my radar, but I think he's an interesting option. Blanks for players that double but then blank. Chelsea, I'm quite happy to have Rudiger. They managed the clean sheet against Real Madrid last night. They managed the clean sheet against City in the FA Cup final. So I think they're well suited to keeping the clean sheets quite defensive. They'll be playing Arsenal as well. And if they can get through tonight, I think Arsenal may be more focused on the Europa League. I'm also happy to have Nacho and Castagne as well. Newcastle's a nice fixture in the double. And then United, you'd probably think there's going to be some sort of rotation there, especially with the Liverpool game just around the corner. I don't know if they'll, with a big derby like that, I don't know if they'll want to consider resting players. So that's really who I'm looking at. Obviously, the triple up of Man United will, for me, I've already got three Man United players, so I don't really have to look at transfers for that. The only thing I'm a bit worried about is not having Salah. That's my concern.
Just on that, Tom, did you ever consider three hitting this week for the maximum points you can get and then rolling for next week? Or was it always a plan? Because you could also build your team completely with the best double and triple game week players you would have this 1 week to get maximum points. But how many players would you have sitting for the game week later as it stands?
As it stands for
36 or 35, whatever works out.
For 36, how many would I have? Mm-hmm. I think it makes more sense to play the free hit just in 36 because apart from two players, my team's full of doublers and triplers. So, I mean, I was considering actually getting rid of Kane and getting rid of Son and bringing in Calvert-Lewin and Salah and having a full starting 11 of triple and double players. And then with the blanks, that would be tricky because I've got three Man United, I've got two Leicester, so that's five right away. Mm-hmm. I've got Rudiger for Chelsea and no Arsenal players. So
without even, you'd have to take a hit to build 11 players, so it just works out better for your team. Right, fair enough. Yeah.
I know people are playing their free hit this week, but I just think for myself personally, I think it's a better.
There's a lot of people taking -4, -6 because we all get players in. So I think your rank's going to improve because people are chasing the triple and double game weeks. So I think when you get to the FPL Live, you look at it, you'll be ahead of the curve before things even kick off. This would be the average rank. So I'm looking at it this week.
I think a lot of free hitters this week are going to have very similar teams. And by free hit, I don't think I can vary my team that much. Whereas next week, I can sort of, I can triple up on Everton. They're playing like Sheffield United at home. I could look at Villa players that I don't own any of that are going to be playing Palace. I could even triple up on Man City, who'll be playing Newcastle, if I can try and predict Pep's lineup. So I can target a lot of teams where the ownership's maybe not that high. So I think
that makes perfect sense. Just try to kind of flesh out a bit. Well,
the last question is, with Lingard, he's had two blanks in a row now. Has his luck finally ran out, Peter?
No. I think he's just a great player to own. I mentioned earlier on, that's Antonio back. That's Creswell back. I'm sticking with him to the end of the season because for his prices, cheapness is, the fixtures are decent. I mean, that last game they were pretty good West Ham. He didn't return, but he was still involved, still busy. I think he's at the end of the season regardless. I'm saying that I've got benched this week, but that's only because the amount of double players and triple players I've got, so he's taking the hit on that. Could come back and bite me, could probably return and do more than a double, but just the way the game is, I suppose I'm going to have to leave it this week, but he's at the end of the season, I'm not getting rid of him. I think they're going to look stronger going forward, and the one of the teams that look like they're not dropping off, they look like they're really ramping up, they're really going for this top four. I hope they get it by starting Boris, because it's...
Yeah.
A good wee story, especially like it's like a redemption story for Moyes and Lingard, I suppose, both of them, because one was done at Man United, both of them have done it at Man United, basically. Both of them were done at Man United and have come back, and if they can secure top four, that's pretty special.
Good on.
I agree with Peter there. When I played around with transfers in my team, I've never touched Lingard, and I thought he's one that's going to stay till the end of the season. Fixtures are decent: Everton, Brighton, West Brom, Southampton. Just the team structure I have as well. He fits right in it. And for the price that he is, Peter mentioned all those players back, Antonio, Creswell. I don't think I'll be moving him till the end of the season.
Just on that again, with some of the Scottish game about picking players trying to play for. I mean, they're pushing for top four, so
aye.
It's just, to me, it's a no-brainer to have in the team because he's going to be every week. And England squad. There's two for him, I mean, Champions League football and getting an England squad for the Euros. So he's going to be trying his hardest at the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you guys as well. The last two fixtures, they play West Brom and Southampton as well. I think West Brom's fate will be wrapped up by then, and then Southampton don't really have anything to play for either and haven't really been great defensively. So despite the two blanks, I still think he can be a valuable asset until the end.
Got you? Nothing else?
That's it.
Good night, any add on FPL chat?
Well, I just want to add what a mad end to the season this is going to be. Game week 35 kicks off this Friday, so that'll be tomorrow, and it ends the following Thursday. Game week 36 then kicks off the next day and ends on Sunday. Game week 37 kicks off the Tuesday after that and ends the next day. And game week 38 kicks off the following Sunday. So we're really in for some run in here in the FPL. Compare that to the Scottish game, where like the chat on Twitter and that has died down a little bit, and you get 3 weeks of madness football here in England.
True, yeah. If you
don't keep up here with Ben Krellin's ticker, then I would have been out.
No, he's a lifesaver this year. He's been great this year for actually keep him. And I'm glad I follow him. There's a lot of great guys. I think he's essential if you want to become a better FPL manager, just obviously constantly checking the fixtures, where you can build towards, and so on and so forth. I've got one more question. One question before we finish up the FPL chat then. Triple game week. If money was no option, no consequence, and you'd all free transfers, whatever, blah, 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 free hit, what three Man United players each would you have in your team for the game week? We'll start with you, Tom.
Probably the three I've got now. Greenwood, Fernandes and Shaw.
Gunnar.
Probably be Bruno, Greenwood and Maguire, just for his nailedness.
See, I agree with Gunnar. Shaw might play 2 out of 3, I think. Could play 3 out of 3, Tom, and then you've won, and in that case it worked out well. But I think Maguire's bar an injury, he'll be the 3 out of 3 definitely nailed on.
Yeah, I was considering Henderson as well, but you never know. He might just throw De Gea in for one of them because the games come so thick and fast. But I think Maguire, they don't really have any alternatives.
So, transfers, then, we've kind of discussed. Captains, I think, pretty obvious. Listen to what's first. Are we all going Bruno for the game week, Tom?
Yeah, 99%.
Is that 1% Greenwood?
No, 1% Salah.
All right. You haven't got Salah, have you?
No, but if I get him, I would consider a captain.
Right. Gunnar, captain?
I'm the same. I am on Bruno at the minute, but Salah, he's an option. Playing the Southampton side, we're pretty weak at the minute, and then playing Man United after the last game in this triple. It is tempting. But I think Bruno or a Man United asset is going to be the better choice.
Yep, I'm on Bruno, but Greenwood's sitting there, but I just think he's not as nailed. So it's Bruno for me. And we discussed the transfer. Any other transfers? Kind of just Tommy brought up Salah, but I suppose we're all just kind of looking at the game, not really settled on who we're going to bring in yet, or do you know exactly who you're bringing in, Tom?
As it stands, I think Kane and Son go out for DCL and Salah, as it stands.
I think that's bold. I like it.
Because I can free hit the following week and get the triple Spurs for the Sheffield United game. Is it Sheffield United?
I guess. No, it's
Wolves. Sorry, Wolves, who haven't been great. But, I mean, I might not triple up. I mean, I'll need to see how they perform against Leeds, who, again, haven't been great defensively. And then Spurs then play Villa at home, which is a consideration. I'm a bit worried about that. But in the last game, they're away at Leicester, and that's going to be tougher because Leicester obviously could still be gunning for the top four position there. So that's the plan as it stands just now.
Will be yourself, Gunnar?
Yeah, only one transfer, free transfer this week. So it'll probably be Maguire. And if I do take a hit, I might punt on Zaha or prepare my team for after that and bring in an Everton defender already, because I got Holding, who I think wasn't playing for Arsenal the last weekend. So just to set me up for the running, I might make a transfer there and just compensate that with them having a double game week. So take the hit now instead of next week. But Maguire is probably my one free, and then if I do take it, I'll have to see.
Yeah, so I'm ready to bring in Coleman for that Chelsea guy. That's my and probably Maguire for Dallas, and that would be my two. My thoughts are different. I'm going to always take it this week. I'm one of the play, and then next week I'll just take -4 to get 11 out. That's the way I'm going to work it, I think. Try to maximize this week, and then
See
how it evolves next week. Right, that's us finished then, guys. Unless you've got anything else to add, anything else, Tom? Gonna
nope.
Shaking heads all around. Okay, get your plugs in, Tom.
So I am at FFS Scout on Twitter. Usually I do an article at the end of this week, but game week isn't until mid next week, so maybe looking at Monday, Tuesday just now. But you can hit me up on Twitter.
Good up.
Yeah, I'm at Fitball Weekly Pod on Twitter. I'm doing the captain poll. I've put up the brackets and the scores for our cup. And yeah, any questions, fantasy football related, just get in touch.
Right. I'm the same. I'm at Fantasy Half. Get in touch, follow us, We'll always answer the questions in the community or online if we're all available. And if you like the podcast, you can give us a review wherever you get your podcasts. And next week will be one of our special podcasts again, I think, because the no Scottish games. We'll cover about English football, I think, and it will be, in fact, won't, I think so, because it's going to say it's over 2 weeks. So it'll be our top 10 fullbacks.
Fullbacks, aye.
Fullbacks. Pretty obvious one and two, I think, but you never know, but a spanner that works. Laxalt number one. Greg Taylor number two.
What about John Joe Kenny?
Yeah, well, that's true. He's not. He wouldn't make the top 15 if he had 15. That's, let's be honest. But again, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks to the loan. Thanks for being on, guys. And we'll see you again next week. So say goodbye, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye, Gunnar.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye for me. Bye-bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.